Psalm 147. Well, Psalms 146 to 148, that includes this 147, are stated in the Septuagint as being the Psalms of Haggai and Zechariah. So they are relevant to the restoration of the exiles. God wanted the exiles to come out of Babylon and to go and restore his kingdom. And yet the vast majority of them were quite comfortable in Babylon, Persia, and they remained there. As you see in the end of the book of Esther, they were prosperous, they were popular, they were wealthy. Haman thinks that if he can kill all the Jews and expropriate their property, he would be able to give the king a huge amount of money. They were wealthy. There were Jews like Esther and Mordecai in high places. So, unfortunately, this desire of God to, verse 2, build up Jerusalem, he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Well, yes, that was what he was doing, but they resisted that and refused that redemption. And, of course, the call to leave Babylon is repeated to us in the New Testament. And it's the same with us. God can bring people out. He wants to bring us out from this world, to set us on the journey towards his kingdom, and to use us to restore his kingdom. And yet the majority of people are caught up in the things of this life, in the things of Babylon, and they prefer to remain. And so much divine potential is not used. Well, this idea that he gathers together the outcasts of Israel, this is sort of quoted by the Lord Jesus in Luke 13, where he says, "How I would love to have gathered together the children of Jerusalem, but you would not." It's as if, okay, so the exiles generally refused this, and those who did return, as we know from Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, did not really respond, didn't really have the right motives, and they didn't repent. They didn't return to their God as they were intended to. And so, well, the whole thing was reapplied by the Lord Jesus. In the first century, in a spiritual sense, this could have happened, but again, the majority didn't want it. Verse 3, he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount by saying that his message was good news for the broken in heart, for the wounded. But again, the majority didn't want that. So initially, the exiles were the wounded and the brokenhearted who could have been regathered, but they didn't stay sitting by the rivers of Babylon with their broken hearts. They assimilated into society. Sure, they remained Jews in a cultural sort of sense, but it was simply a cultural loyalty to their history, rather than truly being broken-hearted in repentance. Verse 4, he counts the number of the stars, he calls them all by their names, clearly referring to the promise that the seed of Abraham would be as many as the stars. He knew the names of each of the exiles, and yet the majority didn't want to return. And so it is with us. He knows the names, and a name in Hebrew really suggests a character, a personality. He knows so many people and has called them to his kingdom, but they prefer to remain in Babylon. Verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is literally without number. So the might of his power is not simply physically in creation and in the entire cosmos. It is on this level of knowing each person whom he wants to save. Well, David uses the same phrase, his understanding, his knowledge is without number, when he says that his sins, he says in verse 12 of Psalm 40, were without number. And I think the connection is that, sure, God understands not only human characters, personalities, he understands completely your sins. And yet he wants to regather you. This is not a barrier to him. And yet people don't want to believe it. He will uphold, verse 6, the humble and bring the wicked down to the ground. He would have destroyed Babylon and Persia and led his people out. But the fall of Babylon never actually happened to the scale that God speaks about it in the prophets as happening. The idea is that All the Jews would respond to the call and Babylon would fall, and they would escape from the fallen Babylon just before it fell and would restore his kingdom. But they didn't do that, and so the program didn't quite work out as planned. But of course it will ultimately work out in that the prophecies of the fall of Babylon are reapplied to the last days. They were to rejoice, verse 7, sing with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God. They were to return, as Isaiah says, with singing unto Zion. But no, they remained. And later on in the psalm, verse 15, he sends out his commandment, his word, to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. I think this is specifically the word of restoration that could have been true and come quickly and powerfully true for the exiles. It keeps saying, verse 18, he sends out his word and melts the hail. He causes his wind to blow, his spirit to blow. He shows his word, verse 19, he shows his word to Jacob. He sends his word to Jacob, literally. So God had uttered the word of restoration, but they did not respond. Now, this is all absolutely true to us because this has been reapplied to us. Right, they didn't want this. They preferred the soft life in Babylon. So the Lord Jesus uses this language, as I've shown, to appeal to people in his day, but they crucified their king. And so the call comes out today, and again the majority of people are refusing it. But we have said yes. We have said yes. But of course that means leaving Babylon. It means leaving, at least mentally, in our heart, this whole worldview that in which we live. And realizing that I have been called to another life, to restore God's kingdom and to be there eternally. That was the potential that was possible. Okay, it didn't happen then, but it will finally happen. After all these failed attempts, these spurned offers, this redemption that was refused. And so the question is, do you want to stay in Babylon and yet, you know, say that, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm one of the people of God, just as the Jews did? Well, yeah, you know, very keen on saying that we are Jews and, yeah, upholding their history and their culture, to keep in Purim and all this kind of thing. And yet, actually, they were in their hearts there in Babylon. They did not leave. And so this is the danger, is it not, of cultural Christianity, of cultural belief, and saying that, yeah, well, by culture, yeah, I am a believer in Jesus because that's how my mum and dad were. And yes, I live in a broadly Christian society, so it's termed. And yeah, this is my way. No, the call of God is more radical. It is to radically leave. It is to realize that this world in which we live, this Babylon, is about to fall, and we have to be separate from it and to work to restore his kingdom. They were not simply to return. They were to return and work to restore the kingdom, to move the piles of rubble in Jerusalem, to rebuild that temple according to the pattern they were given in Ezekiel 40 to 48. This is what they were asked to do. And it's the same with us. We are not simply asked to, you know, just make a few mental tickings of boxes in our head and putting a few statements on the internet or whatever. But it's more radical than that. We are called to leave this whole nonsense and work for his kingdom.